The genesis of knitting is as unclear as the birth of the universe and the origins of the human race. We have no proof of when and how we began knitting. All we know for sure is that once it happened, it eventually became an integral part of human life. Just like the history of humanity, the history of knitting starts from chapter 2. So, chapter 1 is open to interpretations. This uncertainty can be comforting, as it allows most of us to write or rewrite the beginning of the story. My grandmother, for example, believed in the story of creation. God was so busy organizing everything for 6 whole days that on the 7th day he had to rest, she used to say. She could not resist altering some details of Genesis. Eve, whom my grandmother never questioned had emerged from a rib of Adam, was too curious to keep from touching the apple tree. Eve took the apple because she wanted to taste it, not because someone convinced her to do so. The story of the snake, she told me, is a trick to make women look weak. Naturally, she revealed this secret after my first communion, to avoid confusing me during the lengthy preparation for it. In other words, Eve was strong enough to exercise her free will. Adam, on the other hand, had none. As I grew older, her interpretation of Eve's disobedience offered me comfort and strength in a world still ruled by men. It made me believe in myself, follow my instincts, and conquer fear. When investigating the genesis of knitting, one needs even more imagination. There is no mention of the craft in ancient books and chronicles, and the verb to knit is absent from pre-modern languages. We have to wait until the 15th century to find it in the Oxford Unabridged English Dictionary, and until the Renaissance for it to become part of European languages. Spinning and weaving emerge much earlier, for they are regarded as noble crafts and have been celebrated in ancient poetry and literature. Why is that? Several decades ago, while traveling by bus in the Peruvian Andes, a French archaeology student offered what I still consider the best explanation. Knitting is the proletariat craft. His name was Philippe, and he was en route to Cusco to meet a professor of archaeology with whom he had been in touch while researching his thesis on pre-Columbian crafts. I must confess that when he boarded the bus and sat next to me, the only Caucasian woman on board, I thought he looked like the typical French nerd, small glasses, brown suede shoes with laces, clean jeans, a white shirt, a dark green V-neck sweater, and a tight brown jacket. So I did not pay much attention when he introduced himself and began talking about the topic of his dissertation. It was only when he mentioned knitting that I joined him in what soon became a fascinating conversation. According to Philippe, before spinning and weaving, people made fishing nets using a rudimentary form of knitting known as nålbinding, which he claimed was originally a Danish word. They used a single needle to hook together short lengths of very rough, unspun yarn. "You have seen it," he explained when I looked a bit puzzled. "It is what fishermen still use to repair fishing nets." The same technique was applied to produce cloth. "Think about it," he said. "At the very beginning, man needed to find food and protection from the elements of nature, and nålbinding offered a solution for both." So knitting was there with us right from the start. It was in our survival kit. More recently, by spending a lot of time inside the British Library, I have managed to reconstruct the timeline and several of the details of Philippe's fascinating history of knitting. The oldest fragment of knitted textile dates to 6500 BC and was discovered in a cave in Israel. Another, dating to 4200 BC, came from a fishing village in Denmark. Was the first fragment part of a garment to shield the wearer from the heat of the Middle Eastern soil? Possibly something similar to a rudimentary sock? And the second fragment, was it protecting the owner from the cold and wind of the Nordic seas? Philippe thought so.